Thank you.
Okay, good morning. It is 9 o'clock. So we'll get started with our budget work sessions for this morning. We're going to start with Auditor Lucy Martin and staff. Lucy, opening comments.
Oh, yes. Good morning. I have with me my management team here, Lisa, Kevin, and Julie. And I'd just like to say that I can't do it without them. And they're constantly striving to make the county a better place, and I appreciate their help in making me look good, so thank you very much. I did want to start before we talk about FY19. Thank you again to the board for giving me amending my budget $20,000 this year to address legislative changes. I just want to give you an update about what we've done with those funds. The bulk of those went to ID scanners. That was a little under $14,000. And then provisional ballot boxes, since we're expecting an increase in those, which are, I don't know if you voted in the pie in the face thing, but we used our red ballot boxes for those. Other things we bought were some adapter cords, some equipment tubs, plotter paper for banners so that we can post the latest information for voters. And then explanatory handouts. I don't know if you've seen this. It's on our front counter. But this is probably the best $315 I've spent just on a two-sided cardstock there. So when we look at everything we've spent, it's about $22,400. Not all of that is, can you tease out exactly, was related to the new legislation. We may have purchased that anyway. Again, with so many broad changes, we've really looked at a lot of our processes and are looking to be as efficient as possible so that we can sort of wash additional time and effort with just doing better here in the office. So we also made a little bit of money with that, and if we want to go to my revenues, you'll see that FY18 revenue spikes a little bit, and that's because we sold some election equipment to other counties and replaced it with those tubs, which was the rolling suitcases. So that combined with the lowering of the boost fee explains the miscellaneous budget, and that was sort of the anomalous thing. Just a reminder to all of you that because of the election cycle where we bill out city and school elections, but we pay for federal elections, primaries, and generals, our budget tends to look like this. There's no way to flatten that out, I guess, unless we wanted to pay for all elections, which we don't want to do. So that's why just the peaks and valleys are just part of the reality of being an auditor.
Well, you almost, if we're going to compare, we almost have to compare every other year rather than every
right year. and sometimes every 4 years, because the gubernatorial cycle is a little bit different than the presidential cycle. With the new law changes, a lot of our understanding, I thought we were really sort of laser-focused, pinpointing costs for the last presidential, and now, you know, we lose some of that and not knowing the universe we're going into. So we try, but we'll have a better understanding after this upcoming November. But we won't really understand probably until November of 20, when both the laws are hardened and we see sort of the high point of voter turnout. So, and then we'll go through redistricting, and we'll have to sort of recalculate again. So it's never boring in the auditor's office, let's put it that way. I didn't know if you had questions about the revenue budget.
Yeah, so I actually have a question about FY18. Now that we know that the City of Ames is going after a bond referendum on April 3rd, it seems to me that that will change us both in revenues and expenses for FY18.
Yes, and those special elections, they always, we did lower our sort of placeholder number there, but whatever it is, it's offset in both the expense and revenue side. So With the City of Ames and also, Ames School District and also Gilbert School District will have an election the same day. So we'll have 9 precincts that day. So I think it's a new elementary school. But Kevin's seen the bond language.
$14 million. They're asking for $14 million to expand the school building. Yes.
Okay.
But all that will happen in FY18.
Yes.
None of that will carry over into 19.
No.
Our expenses and what we bill them will happen.
Right.
Any other questions on the revenue side of things? All right.
So if we're going to expenses, I want to point out a couple of things here. When we look at FY19, that is that if you look at extra help and contractual labor under the election side, the 8,000, which is the very top line, or it's 100, and then contractual labor 471. You have to look at those together because it really depends, and with the really low unemployment in Story County, that will also be a factor. Is some cycles we've been able to hire directly, and some we have contracted with manpower. And I think, like in 14, we did all manpower, and then 16, we actually could just hire off the street. So we budgeted in both those areas, not knowing exactly what
the
universe will bring us. So.
Actually, 14 was kind of a blend.
Well, 14 was a blend, okay.
We 17. Had a few folks that we hired off the street, but there was no way to get as many people as we needed off the street. That's
right. And we thought we would see the same in 16, but actually we were able to find people. So, and that pool of applicants is generally retired people, but not always. Sometimes people new to the area are just seeking full-time employment. So, when I see that Story County has the lowest unemployment in the nation, I'm like, well, how am I supposed to get election workers?
Is the requirement to be a Story County citizen, be an election worker in Story County?
An election worker or a temp? For a temp, no. To be an election worker, yes, you have to be registered in Story County. But, like, to work at a polling place. But, yeah, we've had people from Boone County
and Hamilton County.
Marshall County. Maybe not.
Maybe.
Definitely Hamilton and Boone. So, and then they're like, well, when we pay them, you know, is it worth the gas money for them to come in, too? It makes more sense for people from Story County, but...
Do you have any luck with the university?
It's... Yeah, some years we've gotten one or two, but in general, no. Some years, yeah, but not lately, really.
Okay.
So that's one thing to look at. Another thing I want to point out is... actually, something that we could probably take down is the election night reporting Atkins. I have in there for $7,500. After speaking with them, they've revamped and gone with a third party for that. It's going to come down to probably more like $2,500. So if you want to go ahead and make that change.
All right, so we'll take $5,000 out right there.
Right. Sorry, that's 444.
444 on the election side.
And then... you'll see under 412, postage and mailing, I've budgeted for a countywide mailing, and that's also to do with legislative changes. With the combination of school and city elections, that changes polling place information for everybody in Story County. We have not discussed this really fully with Secretary of State, but I don't see any way around not doing a countywide mailing, so that's why that's in the budget, which is a spike that you'll see. And then the other big nut in my budget is the $63,000, and this is under the administrative side, to digitize our transfer books and our drainage old drainage books. And I've sought out 2 quotes, so I'm pretty comfortable with that number. And this is for a variety of reasons. We've for disaster recovery, these are one of a kind historical documents. we have done a lot of scanning on the real estate side of the records that we can do and attach those to real estate through TCM, the total content management that we have through Tyler. These records, though, have to be indexed. So, and they're these, the 12 by 18 books, indexed by section, township, range. So it's really a specialty type thing. You can't just put it on the scanner and have that available. They have to be searchable. If you are interested in seeing what a county has done, I recommend Jasper County. Another nice thing about at least one of the vendors that I've talked to is that if we use their naming convention, if we wanted to scan some things, we could put it into their system as well. I'm thinking especially like our big drainage maps, which we can now scan onto the plotter. So this price includes, there'll be like a hosting fee. It's like $1,800 a year to maintain that. So disaster recovery is my big thing, because it's a joke, but it's not really a joke, that if when the alarms go off here, like everyone grab a transfer book and a drainage map, because those. And another thing is that the whole county and all counties really have been moving towards digitized records, so people expect that. I gave a talk to the Ames Historical Society a couple of years ago, and it's like, why do I have to come in and look at a big book? Everything is, so there's some expectation from the public that we do this. Anticipating that I'll have in the foreseeable future a retirement out of real estate. So sort of moving whole, when we went to the Tyler process, we really sort of modernized a lot of the way we do things. And this would be sort of the final step, is that we don't. And then we'll just pick a date, sort of our books are scanned through this time, and then after that you have to go to the electronic transfer records and view those. So
Julie, if you have anything more to add to
no,
that?
No, actually I was just going to say that eventually we would stop doing a lot of the handwriting that we're still doing in the books. And
right. And with the system we have, we can stop doing that, but if I want people to be able to come in and also view those. So they really go hand in hand. So it's sort of dragging us, kicking and screaming into the 21st century.
So talk to us about timing, three different perspectives on the timing.
Okay.
One, how long does it take for somebody to come in and do this for us? Two, what's the right time in your office? You've got time, peaks and valleys in terms of how
right.
busy your office is. And three, how long will it take from the time we select a vendor for them to get on the ground and do the work they've got to do?
Probably that last one I don't know, because this is specialized work that they do. But my understanding of the process is they bring in their own equipment. We have to give them some space. Not a huge space. So perhaps like with a conference room down where health used to be would work. That way our records never leave the building. And they're sort of like smoke jumpers. They're in and out. So they would say probably about 4 weeks. They do their own thing. And they don't require oversight. They might have to just, talk to staff. And we would have to put up signs like, if you're looking for this book, it's probably downstairs being scanned. But getting on their schedule is what I don't know. So, but probably about 4 weeks, and then we talked about this probably between the April to August range in our office, and then if it doesn't happen in that range this time around again, and if it's at FY19, somewhere between April and June there. So, I was confident with the vendors I talked to. Again, this is pretty specialized. And they did talk a lot about, they've gone into counties where everything's been destroyed, in which case you are essentially having to buy back your information from the abstractors that have it, because you have, you're required to have this. So this is a great building. It's very sturdy. We have a new roof.
It's necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it's a reasonable expectation from our citizens that we would have this. It's the right thing to do. Marty, Loris, I mean, if you're like me at all in this one, this one's just an absolute no-brainer that we've got to get it done, and now it becomes a exercise of, okay, when exactly do we do it and how do we do it? You guys agree or disagree with that?
No, I believe this is quite a coup shot, you know, getting yourselves some affordability because there's a plan for facilities. You know, this is the information to transit if we are anywhere we should have all the access to the information we have in the building.
Right.
Online. So to me, this is getting close from one to the other.
For me, it's a modernization.
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
In addition to the other reasons. But I circle it and I went and saw what it was for and I went, oh, no problem.
All right, so my suggestion is that we would plug it into the FY19 budget right now, but that we would encourage you to start moving on it, and if the timing works, that we can go ahead and get it done in April, May, June of FY18, that we would just roll it forward. We can find the 63 to do it yet this year. If we know that before March 11th, if we know before March 11th that we're going to do it, then we'll pull 63 back out of 19 and go ahead and get it done. But since you've got a very clear window, I would say, so we'll... These vendors that you communicate with, will they come in and do a presentation on a Tuesday?
Absolutely. I mean, it would be a contract that the board would sign. I wouldn't do that without. So you could ask questions about, you know, cost and hosting, and you know, they would also show demos of what they've done in other counties. But if you're interested now, you can just go to Jasper County and you can see what COT, which is one of the vendors, has done there. Yes, absolutely. So
I'd say get it on one of our Tuesday morning agendas just as soon as reasonably possible, and then we can ask them those questions of timing and everything else, and then we'll know what we're doing going forward.
If that does work, I would say please leave in like $1,800 in FY19 for that's just
sure.
Maintenance fee.
And the $1,800 you said is part of the 63 for the first year, but then it'll be an ongoing.
Yeah, I just built that in there, not knowing exactly when, if it happened, when it would happen. So.
Super. All right. Board, other questions on the expense side?
You have anything to do on copiers? Last year, we were still on Marco. You guys were in the office. That's a big deal. How, a year later, is that working out for you?
I think it's been fine.
These guys use the copier more than I do.
There's less rumblings from staff about our copier this year, I've noticed. So.
That must be a good thing.
Yeah.
No.
I remember.
We haven't had hardly any downtime, have we?
Right. Usually it tends to coincide with a big election.
Right.
So
all right.
Probably April 3rd, I would expect the copier to go down. Yeah, that's sort of.
But no, I honestly can say we made it through.
Or a blizzard or both.
We made it through the. We made it through the.
Last year.
Yeah.
And you'd have to say that it was a wise choice.
Yeah, I think
so. We all were kind of like, are we doing the right thing here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And we have one in the back of it.
Right.
Now, ours before was that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that we've come over and used yours, and you've come over and used ours. But yeah, I think it's so far seems to be working well and obviously less costly.
Yeah, it's been all around.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really good budget, Boris. Anything you want to point out?
I have no questions. Everything makes sense.
So we took the $5,000 out. We're going to keep the $63 in, but maybe we'll pull that forward to $18, depending on what all the time. If there's nothing else, that's it for auditor.
All right. Thank you very much.
The conversation up in Storm City last week, a couple of workers talking about how much they appreciate the fact that the scanners do their job that much easier because the information transfers so quickly. It's there, they didn't have to chase it down paper-wise and whatnot. But after being through all the iterations of what a poll watcher or a poll worker were, that was something they appreciated. That was technology that was embraced by some folks that probably not be inclined to embrace new technology.
Yeah, well, and it takes out the fat fingering of keys, or I spelled your name wrong because I heard it wrong, right. And so.
No, it was one of those where I think that as and I get the portion of it, but the thing is, I think that it allows elections, just having the election to go through more smoothly.
And we continue constantly to improve our processes for the poll workers because. we got to make them happy because we can't replace them.
Yeah.
That's my biggest worry, is that they'll reach a breaking point where there's just too many things to do. So the easier we can make their jobs, because they have a hard job.
It was a good request. I'm glad that we had put ourselves in a position to provide the money, and just on the anecdotal, it sounds like it's working in a way that we hoped it would.
I think so.
Okay. Good. Thank you.